The Catholic bishops of Southern Africa have called for the immediate resignation of President Mugabe of Zimbabwe and accuse regional governments of being complicit in the nation's passive genocide if they continue with inaction. In a strong statement, the bishops urged the Southern African leaders to stop supporting and giving credibility to what they called the illegitimate Mugabe regime with immediate effect. The prelate said failing this, the regional leaders accept complicity in creating the conditions that have resulted in starvation, displacement, disease and death for ordinary Zimbabweans. This, they said, is nothing short of passive genocide. The president of the Southern African Catholic Bishops' Conference is Archbishop Buti Thigali, and he told my colleague Ema McCarthy why they felt compelled to issue such a strong statement.
Bishops sought in the statement they released, sought to encourage the leaders particularly that they should lean on President Robert Mugabe to resign and retire. He has been long in the job and he's already at 84 years old. And thirdly, he's really a stumbling block to progress being made. And secondly, we are saying that to the SADC leaders, that it is really up to them to take the initiative and bring about change in Zimbabwe. If they are not doing so, if they don't do so, there is a passive genocide that will begin to develop in that country. Already we heard from our colleagues, the fellow bishops in Zimbabwe, telling us that graveyards are filling up by the day. People die because of lack of medication, especially those who suffer from HIV/AIDS. People are literally starving. There's no food, especially in the countryside. So we are dealing here with passive genocide. And then we feel if SADC leadership does not respond to this gruesome situation of the ordinary people, then they too have blood dripping from their hands. And therefore, it is up to them to lean on Mugabe to leave office and at the same time begin to prepare for elections in Zimbabwe. This is basically the message we're trying to put across. We are also saying that, you know, the mediation has failed dismally under the leadership of former President Mbeki. The mediation has failed, and therefore it is up to SADC to try and set up a government there. We read the news that they have put some deadlines in terms of the swearing-in of the prime minister, the deputy prime minister, etc. And then the ministry, the controversial Ministry of Home Affairs, will be under the leadership of both parties. We don't think there is anything new here. We doubt if this is going to be final. And therefore, SADC needs to keep on being told. The public needs to insist, NGOs need to insist that SADC takes a far more stronger leadership on the matter of Zimbabwe.
Archbishop Thigali, if I may, this statement is an extremely strong statement, perhaps the strongest we have seen yet from the Southern African Catholic Bishops' Conference to date regarding the crisis in Zimbabwe. What propelled you and your fellow bishops to release this strong statement? Because at the bottom of it is really human suffering. What is the latest news that you have had from your brother bishops in the region?
It is precisely that human suffering, that people are unable to buy food, that people simply have to live on water, that you can't get money from the bank, that you now have to use foreign currency, and ordinary people do not have foreign currency to buy anything. It is the fact, as I said, it now appears to be a passive genocide, that people are dying in great numbers, something which should not be happening at all. And this is a man-made crisis, which is now actually a disaster. It is this, the level of suffering of very ordinary people who are caught up in this political game because President Mugabe has become an absolute dictator in that country. It is because of this human suffering, this pain of ordinary people that has pushed the bishops to issue that statement.
Archbishop Thagale, how difficult is it to get aid to the people in Zimbabwe? How difficult is it to get food and medicines into the country?
We are told that it is very difficult because if you transport food in big trucks, visible trucks, the government confiscates it and we're told the army takes it. So you have a practical problem at the borders when you have huge amount of stuff. You need permission and you can stay for days on end at the border waiting for that permission to be granted. If you go in, the food might be confiscated. So they were telling us in order to get food there, you'd have to send it in small packets, in cars, etc., but nothing very visible because it's likely to be confiscated. So that makes it extremely difficult for people to carry food and medication over. But I think it still does go in reasonable amount.
And what about the thousands of Zimbabweans who are fleeing the country? Are they being welcomed? Are they being received by the neighboring nations? Or are the neighboring nations hostile to the influx of Zimbabwean refugees?
Well, I certainly know about Botswana and South Africa, where we have great numbers of refugees. One of the things we were also discussing yesterday is that we should not only be concerned about Zimbabweans in Zimbabwe, but ought to be concerned about Zimbabweans in South Africa, who actually they too are just experiencing enormous difficulties for lack of shelter, lack of food, lack of clothes, lack of money, etc., because of lack of employment. So they too, even though they are here in huge numbers, do not get food and whatever their needs are not met as much as they would like. In terms of reception, last year, of course, we have this xenophobic attack on foreign nationals in South Africa, but that has calmed down and we are not experiencing any of the xenophobia. But still, we are saying to the churches that they should be able to collect food to be given to foreign nationals at churches.
In your first answer, you spoke about this infamous Home Affairs Ministry in Zimbabwe, because we know that part of the agreement for the Government of National Unity was, from the opposition's point of view and from the government's point of view, a contentious issue was this Home Affairs Ministry.
The Home Affairs Ministry is contentious because the police fall under that ministry. That's the nub of the issue. And the control of the police, whereas I think the MDC is quite happy to let the army, being under President Mugabe, they thought if they controlled the strong ministry like Home Affairs, then they too would be able to control the police. If you're going to bring stability and peace in Zimbabwe, it is important that power be evenly shared. Now, if the MDC controls Home Affairs, it means they will also be able to control the police, who also, up till now, together with the army, have been instrumental in punishing members of the opposition party.
So the real crux of the position is that there has to be power sharing right across the line, not just at the government level.
Absolutely, absolutely. Not just in terms of the departments, but in terms of where real power lies, such as with regard to the police security.
Archbishop Thagale talking to my colleague Emma McCarthy. Caritas Internationalis has launched a $7 million appeal for Zimbabwe to provide urgent humanitarian assistance for over a quarter of a million people facing hunger and death. Caritas says there is an acute humanitarian crisis in Zimbabwe, with 5 million people out of a population of 10 million reliant on food aid to survive. In addition, a cholera outbreak over the last 5 months has now killed more than 3,000 people and infected more than 57,000 others. But let's find out more from somebody actually based in the Zimbabwean capital, Harare, about the humanitarian situation facing the people there. Cornelius Hamadziripi is the director of the Zimbabwean Catholic Development Commission. I began by asking him about the impact of the cholera outbreak there.
Let
The crisis is an entangled web of a number of other issues surrounding it. The cholera and probably the humanitarian crisis that we are seeing is just a symptom of probably the bigger picture. But what I can basically tell you that, yes, the cholera outbreak is still there, and there have been efforts both at the government and other international actors to address those challenges, though we continue to receive reports from here and there in other parts of the countries where it wasn't being reported. But also it must be understood in the context that even regionally, the other countries, they are also beginning to report, you know, cases of cholera. And the other issue that we also have is still the food security situation hasn't improved. There have been a number of organizations, international agencies that have been providing food, in particular the World Food Program. But we are getting reports that because of the pipeline, their pipeline is almost like drying up, so they have had to cut rations as well. So that calls for other agencies also to supplement the food aid.
Of course, cholera, as we all know, is a waterborne disease. Is it true that everybody in Harare has to boil water because the water is not clean?
Well, yes, it has been encouraged that people actually need to improve their water management systems, so including boiling as such. And of course, due to the other challenges, I think the responsible authority for water management within the city of Harare hasn't been able to provide the necessary chemicals and so. So it has always been advised people that they should, apart from the cholera outbreak, but just as part of the public health hygiene, that people need just to treat their water.
I know that because of the economic crisis, Zimbabwe's health service has all but collapsed. What is the situation like now for somebody who is sick? I mean, can they take their relative to a hospital, or are they likely to find an empty hospital?
Well, over time, there has been a decline in the provision of social services, probably civil service. So you would find most hospitals, we've had brain drains where the skilled workers have left, medicines, drugs, and even equipment, and so forth. So you would find that if one were to fall sick, usually those who would go to public hospitals may not be able to do so. So they have had to rely on the mission hospitals run, for example, like the Catholic Church. We have a number of hospitals throughout the country. So those ones with private funding, they've been able to keep on attending to patients. The other alternative is people, those who have access to, say, to hard currency, of which not many of us are able to do so, are able to access, medical services from, private practitioners. And these ones, they charge either in US dollars or in South African rands and so forth. So if you don't have that kind of money, then you are not able to access that service. So yes, it's true that public hospitals haven't been functioning very well.
You talked about the fact that because the public hospitals and the health service there has largely collapsed, that people who are now sick are all going to the mission hospitals, the ones run by the church. Are they being overwhelmed by this situation?
Oh yes, definitely they are overwhelmed by the situation, because there is the issue of that the public hospitals are not working. The mission hospitals are not many. So, of course, now that you have a huge demand and there are less service providers, so obviously they feel the pressure. And also that in terms of funding, again, they have to depend on private funding, either from international donors or something like that. And given the global financial crisis, they may not be able to raise what they require as resources to run those hospitals. So, yes, definitely they are feeling the pressure.
And are you able to get enough medical supplies and food and water to take care of the patients?
Yes, again, it has been international agencies helping out in terms of provision of the resources. For instance, us as Catholic Development Commission, we have launched an emergency appeal where we are looking at providing food for patients and staff at hospitals as a way of trying to retain them.
It's not just, of course, the health service that is suffering as a result of this economic crisis, but there's widespread hunger throughout Zimbabwe. Just how bad is the hunger situation? Can you give me some figures?
I will just use the WFP estimates, which they are saying that by January, which is this time, they were estimating that about half of the population, which is about 5 million people, would be in need of food. Between now and March, that's the most, I would say, critical point in terms of our agricultural season. So I would say, yes, during the most critical period, because one, it's raining, and two, there's still not yet something that they can eat from their fields. So that's when we would need a massive input in terms of food aid as well.
And do you see visible signs that people are starting to get, somewhat thin as a result of not eating enough?
No, I wouldn't say people are getting too thin. I would simply say is People are eating foods that they would not usually eat at this time of the year. For instance, at one point, people were actually relying on some wild fruits to eat, and the people would eat some foods that we would not usually eat and so forth. Because there hasn't been any some sort of nutritional surveillance that shows that this is what exactly has happened.
I was speaking to Cornelius Hamadziripi, director of the Zimbabwean Catholic Development Commission. Dino kurumbi zai baba angu, dino kurumbi zai muziki, munondi pa makomborero, dino kurumbi zai baba angu.